Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Maureen Lewis Stump. Local food is no longer just a novelty. It's a billion-dollar business. But despite all the demand, making local food work in some places is decidedly more difficult than in others. Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports.
Josh Kilbane walks along a narrow dirt road outside of Steamboat Springs, Colorado. His herd of Scottish Highland cattle, the kind with long, shaggy bangs and curved horns, munch on tall green grasses behind an electric fence.
She's a nice cow. She is so smart. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, she'll be.
You'll hear lots of those moos here at Yampa Valley Farms, and oinks, too. Kilbane also raises hogs. The one thing you won't hear much of anymore is the clucks of chickens.
Well, what spawned it was the idea of creating really, really healthy, good chicken.
Kilbane bought thousands of chickens and processing equipment last year. He explored whether local restaurants would buy local chicken for a premium price.
We could sell these birds, and it sounds ridiculous, but for $15 to $18 a bird.
The demand was there, but after crunching the numbers, the project was scrapped.
It would cost somewhere between $250 and $350, $100,000. To build a plant to process birds to the specifications of the federal government. And that pushes us out as a small farm right off the bat.
And there's really no other place in northwest Colorado where a small local farmer could drop off chickens for processing. There are places to take cattle, but no chickens. It's a familiar story all over the Midwest. There are huge chicken processing plants, but you can't get in there if you're not contracted with a company. So chalk that up as problem number one, a lack of infrastructure. Problem number two, the growing season.
Our challenge in Colorado, and particularly in the Steamboat area, is that our growing season is about 59 days from frost to frost. And so it is a real challenge for people growing their own food.
Karen Massey is the Colorado State University Extension agent for Rauch County. That number, 59 days, is something you hear over and over in Steamboat Springs. It's even on the cover of a gardening guide the Extension office hands out. With cold winters and steamy summers, farmers growing food in the Midwest know unpredictable weather is a headache. Massey says that's why many farmers' markets can feel more like flea markets.
There have been very creative businesses started with season extenders, but it's a long haul. We sometimes get 400 inches of snow.
But those season extenders, like greenhouses and hoop houses, can be expensive and tough to maintain. And if they get too big, they can bring up another impediment to local food production: government regulation. Steamboat Springs, like many cities and towns with local foodies, functions under a master plan that discourages sprawl into the open space that surrounds the town. Alan Goldich is with Rauch County, Colorado's planning department.
We want to keep those commercial uses in the growth centers or near the growth centers. And when you start to expand those commercial uses outside of those growth centers, then you start to lose that western rural character, the open agricultural feel.
Goldich says his office has started passing along worksheets to aspiring local food growers as a bit of a reality check about the uphill battle they can face. There are lots of permits to file and specifications to meet in order to get a business off the ground. Even with all the roadblocks, Rauch County Planning Director Chad Phillips says it's not stopping all prospective farmers. That passion can be clearly seen by the lively online bartering that goes on when a person's garden is overly productive. And more than a handful of people in town have taken advantage of a state law that allows cooks to sell foods prepared in the home. And back at Yampa Valley Farms, Josh Kilbane says yes, the climate in Steamboat can be harsh. But that's no reason to throw your hands in the air and give up. When 10 feet of snow drops on the ranch, his shaggy Scottish cattle and woolly dreadlocked hogs barely realize it. Kilbane says it's that kind of adaptation farmers in the Midwest have been doing forever to survive. And it'll be a matter of adapting even further to meet the demand of a new market that increasingly wants food to be locally produced. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
A respiratory illness is sending hundreds of kids to hospitals in 10 states, including Missouri. While there have been no confirmed cases in Springfield, medical facilities there have been treating patients with similar symptoms. Michelle Skaliski has more.
The illness that's affecting children in the U.S. is suspected to be enterovirus D68. While only a few cases have actually been confirmed, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suspects that's what's causing the outbreaks in 10 states. Cox Health has no confirmed cases of VVD68, but Vicki Good, Director of Clinical Safety at Cox, says they've admitted and treated approximately 30 people with similar respiratory illness symptoms since mid-August. And Mercy has been seeing similar cases, according to spokesperson Sonia Coleman. Good says enteroviruses are very common viruses.
There's more than 100 different enteroviruses that are out there, and there's an estimated probably 10 to 15 million infections that occur in the United States each year from these viruses.
Good says most people with enterovirus have mild symptoms, if they have any at all, but some of the infections can be more serious. EVD68, the strain that's suspected in the outbreaks in the U.S., is less common and was first isolated in 1962, according to Good. The strain generally occurs more in children than adults. She suspects that type of enterovirus is what they've been seeing at Cox Health, but they don't know for sure.
In order to isolate this particular virus, it takes very specific type of testing equipment. And so in Springfield, both facilities, Cox and Mercy, we're not testing for that specific virus, but we are seeing patients with similar signs and symptoms of this virus.
People with chronic respiratory illness, such as asthma, are at higher risk of developing more serious symptoms. But 25% of those hospitalized recently in Kansas City were otherwise healthy kids. According to Good, the key to stopping the spread of EVD68 is prevention. There are things you can do, she says, to keep yourself and your kids healthy.
This is just the start of virus season. You know, the influenza or flu virus is next to hit us. You know, traditionally starts in November, December. And so it's a good time just to remember basic prevention measures in general for any kind of illness. Extremely good hand washing, you know, with soap and water. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth with unwashed hands. Avoid sharing cups or eating utensils with other people. And then disinfecting high-touch surfaces such as toys, doorknobs, especially if someone in your home is sick or you've learned that somebody that's been in your home has become sick.
Symptoms of EVD68 include a cough with or without fever, wheezing, and shortness of breath. Good says parents should seek medical treatment if their child has difficulty breathing. For KSMU News, I'm Michelle Skaliski.
That's all for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Maureen Lewis-Stump. Thanks for listening.